All right. Hey guys, welcome to Tuesday night. My name is John Crisp. A lot of you guys call me Crispy. That's cool too. If we haven't met, I'd love to meet you before you leave this evening. But we are in a series about prayer. And here's what I know. I know that for a long time, I grew up in the church, and I had all these misconceptions about prayer, that I had to have my hands folded, or I had to have a particular posture, or all these different things. And then I learned that God cares more about your heart in prayer than really almost anything else. What is your heart? What is your spirit communicating to him? The word says that we can pray in the spirit, where we're communicating with him in a special way. If you're here, like a couple weeks ago, we talked about how the importance of prayer. And I talked about how when I feel disconnected or distant from my wife because we're super busy, if we sit down and have a conversation, we feel super connected after that. And I think the same is true for prayer. As we engage in prayer, the more that we pray, God's voice becomes familiar. And you might be like, well, I don't even know what God's voice sounds like. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his voice to your spirit becomes familiar. It becomes the voice of a friend. It becomes a sweet thing to hear, something that you long and you thirst for. And I believe it's through prayer that we can come into a place where we feel God's presence in a rich and real way in our lives. And that's what this whole series is about, breaking apart the misconceptions and committing to a life of prayer with the Almighty Creator of the universe. Pretty cool, right? It's amazing that we even get a chance to talk to him and get to talk to him. And so tonight, I'm super stoked because we're going to be talking about this idea of praying in the Spirit. We've been looking at this verse in Ephesians 6, and it basically says, pray all the time in the Spirit. Well, we were looking at this whole idea of praying all the time. What are the practical implications of that? And tonight we're going to look and focus in on this idea of praying in the Spirit. Okay. And, you know, over the last year, I've gotten to know Megan and you know, she, you know, a couple months ago got married to my buddy Jack Griffith. And they're starting out their lives together as a married couple, a power couple. What I love, you know, Jack is here preaching to our high schoolers. Megan's up here preaching to our young adults and to our high schoolers. And it's just so cool. I love both of them. But tonight we get to hear from Megan. We get to hear her perspective. And she's going to talk to us specifically about what it looks like to pray in the Spirit. So, guys, give it up for Megan Griffith.
All right, everyone, I'm super excited. I love the Holy Spirit, so I'm really excited to be able to teach specifically on what it means to pray in the Spirit. And I wanted to just share a little bit about what that looks like for me, but I'll wait until a little bit closer to the end, because at the end of this, we're actually going to kind of try on and apply what it means to, like, pray in the Spirit. And it may get a little awkward, it may feel a little stretched, but that's okay. We can just embrace that and know that, like, the Spirit of God is still good. So, that being said, as Crispy said, y'all been in the series of prayer, and last week specifically, y'all talked about who, what, how, and when. And then this week, as he mentioned, we're focusing on what does it mean to pray in the Spirit. And that verse is from Ephesians 6:18, and it says, pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And so, in short, what it means to pray in the Spirit, I'm just going to summarize, it means to dwell in the presence of the Spirit, to dwell in the presence of God, to really be in this God-like atmosphere where we experience the Holy Spirit's presence with power and joy and righteousness and holiness and peace, that we actually get to experience the heartbeat of God. It means that we're consciously and continuously aware of God's presence in our life. However, I want to break this down for us into three different segments. So the three segments that I want us to break it down through is the first one, what praying in the Spirit is not. So we're going to do a really quick section, what praying in the Spirit is not. The second one is that we're going to talk through what praying in the Spirit is and where does it start? Where do we start when we think of praying in the Spirit? And then the third one is going to be, how is it done? And that's where we'll do a little bit of application. So that being said, I already mentioned this, but I do want us to just be reminded that when we think about the Holy Spirit, you know, he's not contained by church culture or by like our understanding of what we think it should be. The Holy Spirit is this beautiful, magnificent being that we get to actually have full access to, that lives in us, that lives with us. And so as I said earlier, it may get a little awkward. It may be different than something you've done before. It may not. But I just say, like, leave space for the Holy Spirit to move and be who the Holy Spirit is and show up the way that the Holy Spirit wants to show up today in your life. So just be open to that, even if it's a little uncomfortable. All right, so that being said, I'm going to pray for us really quick, and then we'll jump in. Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much that you are with us. We invite you into this place. We say that you are welcome into the spaces of our hearts, into the areas of our lives that we may want to keep hidden. And we just invite you to show us the way that you want to stretch us in this season of our lives to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with you. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray, and by the power of you, Holy Spirit, amen. All right, so that first snippet is, if we're talking about what it means to pray in the Spirit, let's start off with what praying in the Spirit is not. So praying in the Spirit is not praying in the flesh. And maybe some of you are like, well, duh, if I'm praying in the Spirit, obviously I'm not praying in my own flesh. However, this is actually like my tendency. And if you've been involved at church at all, or maybe you've just read some scriptures, or maybe you've been praying, you start to get into a rhythm that can feel like, oh, I know what to say. I know what words to use. You know, Crispy mentioned maybe like putting our hands together, bowing our heads. And those are not bad things. And those things can be done in the Spirit. But there are often times, at least for myself, where I pray out of the flesh, where I come up with the words that I should say, where I don't ask the Lord the desires for his heart or what he wants to do, where I try to like muster up what's supposed to be spoken in this prayer when I'm praying over someone. But the reality is that if we want to be people that pray in the Spirit, we can't pray in the flesh. It kind of reminds me of, so I'm from Houston, Texas, and let me tell y'all, it is nice and flat there. It's nice and flat. I like it. I also love Colorado. But flat is good for when I'm going, like, on my bike, because there's not hills, right? So when I first got here, I was biking up a hill, and when I was biking up that hill, going up, I was going against gravity, and there was friction, and it was hard, and it was tough, and it was difficult. But as soon as I was able to go downhill, I was naturally moving downhill with gravity. I was no longer fighting the friction that was against me. I was just embracing the downward slope. For me, this is kind of what comes to mind when we think about praying in the Spirit versus praying in the flesh. Praying in the flesh, sometimes, even though it's our natural default to want to use certain words that we know and feel comfortable with or certain rhythms that we're familiar with, sometimes it's actually more difficult because it's going against what the Holy Spirit is leading and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so what that can look like at times is like maybe you get caught up in your words. Maybe you're like fumbling through, what should I say? Or maybe someone's like, can you pray for me? And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And so the reality is that when we're going against the Holy Spirit and we're operating in the flesh, it feels like that uphill battle. But what Scripture invites us into, what Jesus invites us into, what the Father, what the Holy Spirit invites us into, is the downhill slope. That we actually don't have to fight the Holy Spirit on what he's doing or what he wants to say or how he wants to speak to us, but instead we get to join him and lock arms with him in prayer for ourselves and our lives and praying for other people. in a downward slope where we're not fighting the friction and the tension and it's not as difficult. And so just going back to what I said earlier, what praying in the Spirit is not, it is not praying in the flesh. It is not us just knowing what to say and how to say it, but leaning into the Holy Spirit's prompting. Which gets me into the second question that I want to answer. What praying in the Spirit is, and where does it start? So we've kind of already covered this a little bit. Praying in the Spirit is that reality that we get to walk hand in hand with what the Lord is doing and praying for what the Lord's desires are. And we're not in that friction or that point where we're fighting gravity. See, in this verse in Ephesians, when it says pray in, there's a lot of different Greek translations, but here are a few. And I think this is really helpful to think about it this way. So it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. And instead of pray in, let's replace it with by means of. So pray by means of the Spirit. Or with the help of. Pray with the help of the Spirit. In the sphere of. So pray in the sphere of the Holy Spirit. In connection to. So pray in connection to the Holy Spirit. When we're answering the question what it means to pray in the Spirit, it means be connected to the Holy Spirit as we're praying, as we're engaging, as we're communing. Pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't feel like you have to know the answers or you have to know how to pray or you have to have the words. Even when you come to God for your own things, don't feel like you have to explain what's on your heart. See, Scripture tells us that sometimes in Romans 8, it says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express. Praying in the Spirit does not refer to the words we are saying. Rather, it refers to how we are praying. So I'm going to repeat that. Prayer does not refer to the words that we are saying. It refers to how we are praying. Sometimes we don't have to have the right words. Sometimes we don't even have to use words. Sometimes it's just a posture of referring to how we are praying in connection to, in communion with, in the sphere of the Holy Spirit himself with us. I'm going to move on to the second part of that question. So the second part of that question was not just what does it mean to pray in the Spirit, but then also where does that start? Like, where does it start to be able to really pray in the presence of God and be praying out of this place of communion with the Holy Spirit? So if we go back to that original point, I said that praying in the Spirit is to be aware of God's presence surrounding us. That we would constantly be in communion with our God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That we get to pray and have that God-like atmosphere that only the Holy Spirit can create. That sometimes we try to muster up an environment to feel a certain way, but the reality is that you can feel and know when the Spirit of God and the presence of God is there. It's different. And so where it starts is it starts in this place of really deep intimacy with God. It starts in that secret place with God, that place where nobody sees, that place where it's only you and God and you're just communing with him. I've been reading this book, and it's really great. It's called Sacred Rhythms, and chapter 4 is prayer, depending and deepening our intimacy with God. And so I'm just going to summarize some things that I learned that I feel like relate to this concept of what it means to be people that pray in the Spirit. So the first thing that it says is that there is a deeper invitation into prayer. And it actually moves us from a place of communication to communion. that sometimes we do need to speak, sometimes we do need to talk, sometimes we do need to have communication, but sometimes we just have to have communion with God. That sometimes we don't have to say anything at all. That it's less about the words that we're using or what we're bringing to the table, and sometimes it's just about being with, communing with. Now, this place can be kind of scary. It's kind of scary to think about moving away from communicating into communion, because I think in the American church culture, we're very familiar with communication. We're very familiar with reading about prayer, with using our words to pray, with hearing a sermon. Like, we're very familiar with communication. But this idea of communion and deep intimacy with God can feel a little stretching. Where what if prayer wasn't you talking, it was just sitting and just hearing what the Holy Spirit had to say? What if communion instead of communication was actually this extra layer where communication isn't wrong, but it's like an extra layer to learn how to commune with our God, to have that deep intimacy? Sometimes it can feel like we're being, this is also from the book, but I'm summarizing, kind of ripped from our place of safety and familiarity. Like, we feel really secure, or for me, I feel very secure when I can control the environment. And the reality is that when I'm doing communication with God, I'm controlling that environment. And it's not bad, and that still can be prayer. And I think tonight we're going to have to leave space for some gray. And it won't be black or white. It'll be a little bit of this and that. But the reality is that sometimes that communication can get in the way. And really what the Lord wants to do is he wants to have communion. And that can feel a little scary. I want to note that communication, as I said, is good. But communion can look like this. So, as Crispy just stated, I just got married. Communion can look like a married couple that's partaking in like physical affection. And so we're not having necessarily words being said, but there's like a loving union that's still being formed. It can also look like a mom who's feeding her child or nursing her child. And even though that child doesn't have words and the mom is saying things, but maybe the child doesn't understand what they're saying, there's still this level of like deep union and like communion that's happening with the mom and the child. It can also look like a really good friend. Like, actually, my really good friends are probably the ones that I talk less with. Because they're the ones where we've said everything we need to say, and we just really enjoy the presence of each other. We really enjoy resting. We really enjoy that we don't feel like we have to show up and know what the other person needs to hear or talk through something, where we can just commune together. And that's what God invites us to when he invites us into the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, when he invites us into praying in the Spirit. That sometimes it is communicating, but sometimes it's just communing. And sometimes we need to know a lot about God, and we need to know the biblical truth that God has in the scriptures. But sometimes we need to experience God. And I think that experience layer is different than just knowing a lot about God, and that comes in that communion. There's a verse here, it says John 10, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So as people that follow God, we get to know the voice of the Savior. We get to know the voice of Jesus. And if you're thinking like, oh, it's kind of awkward, that could be my own voice, that could be someone else's voice, that could be the enemy's voice. No, you belong to the Lord, and you know his voice. He calls you his. Another story is Easter's coming up, and so I wanted to reference the scripture as well, but it's when Mary finds Jesus out of the tomb. And when Mary finds Jesus out of the tomb, at first, she doesn't recognize him. And he's even talking to her. And he's like, Mary, I'm right here. Who do you think I am? And as soon as Jesus says Mary, she's like, Lord, 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 it's you. Because she communed with him so much that when the Savior said her name, that they had that level of intimacy that when the Savior said her name, when Jesus spoke her name, she knew. And so when we're praying in the Spirit, sometimes that communication actually comes from this place of communion. That if we commune with Jesus, if we spend time with him, if we call him our Savior, our Shepherd, if we are his sheep and we follow him and we learn his voice, then in that space of communion, we start to communicate differently. We're not having to muster through prayers. We're not having to choose our own words. We're not having to figure out how to pray for this person. We know the voice of our God, and we can respond from this place of praying in the Spirit, out of this deep intimacy with him. And so the last thing that I want to talk about is I want to talk about how is it done? So far we've talked about what praying in the Spirit is not, and it's not praying in the flesh. It's not going against the friction. We've talked about what praying in the Spirit is and where does that come from. And it's that reality of being aware of and attuned to the presence of God. And it comes from the secret place and the intimacy with him. So now we're going to answer, great, how do we do that? So I said earlier that we want to give ourselves a little bit of space. We want to give the Holy Spirit a little bit of space to maybe engage with us and commune with us and speak to us in a way that feels a little different than he has before. Maybe it's not different, maybe it's just an expansion, but maybe it is. And I do want to encourage you to let there be a little bit of space that maybe we're familiar with a certain way of praying or hearing from God, but maybe, just maybe, he wants to show you something different tonight. And it's not that everything you've been doing is wrong. It's just that he's expanding the horizons of how he wants to be deeply known by you and how he already deeply knows you. So I'm going to read directly from this book because I just couldn't summarize. It was too good. And then we'll do a little practice. So in the book, she's talking about how she just bought a plant and it's in like a very small plant holder. And this is her speaking. She says, as I pull the vibrant clumps of color out of the plastic cells where they have been cultivated, I notice a familiar phenomenon. The plastic containers are packed with roots. There's little to no dirt left in the containers, and some of the roots are even dangling through the water holes, desperately searching for water and for nutrients. I wrestle the flowers carefully from their tight, overcrowded holders, careful to do it gently enough that I don't mangle them up or rip their roots. Part of the pleasure of this all is setting them in a larger space where there is fresh dirt and room for the root system to spread out, knowing that the spaciousness will produce mounds of flowers throughout the season. See, it is the same with the human soul. Like a plant that has become pot-bound, the human soul's roots are searching for nutrients that have long been used up. The human soul gets to the point when it is ready for a more spacious way to pray, one that provides more room for the mystery of growth in the intimacy that we get to have with God, and for more depth for the roots to sink into. The forms of prayer that we preferred and were taught in the context of our religious upbringing or in the early days of our Christian experience no longer contain our experience of God or take us any further in our quest for intimacy with him. We long for something more. Guys, get the book. It's so good. But I love how it says the forms of prayer that maybe we prefer, that feel comfortable, that feel safe, that we were taught in the context of religious upbringings, that maybe, just maybe, those aren't bad, but that the Lord has more mystery and growth for us, that tonight we get to engage a little bit in what it looks like for our souls to have a little bit more space to hear from God or commune with God or engage with God through praying in the Spirit in a different way. And so there's some prompts up here. Michelle's going to play some music, and it's just going to be music with no words, aka instrumentals. But here are some prompts. What I want to encourage you to do is go find a spot in the room. We can do it in a second, no worries. Go find a spot in the room and just get comfortable. Maybe that's sitting, maybe that's standing, maybe that's laying down, maybe that's like being on your knees and being in a posture of prayer from that perspective. I don't know what that is for you. Let the Spirit lead you. Let it be different. Let it feel kind of weird. Just go with it. But find a spot in the room and just say, Holy Spirit, you're invited here. What are you asking me to be stretched in, and how do you want me to pray and commune with you tonight? What do you have for me? And then just sit and receive. And if it feels a little awkward, that's okay. But just keep remembering that God wants to be with you. That the presence of God, once we really get in there and our soul starts to experience it, it's not boring. And you could sit in it for hours because it's so good. And so I just want to give some examples before we do that of what that could look like and what it's looked like for me, just in case maybe this is different or new. For me, when I'm praying in the Spirit, the Lord often gives me pictures or visions. So for example, marriage, it's hard. My husband said it like 10 times the other night. It's really hard. And there was this moment where I was like, Lord, I felt like Romans. I was like, I don't even know where to start praying. Like, there's so many things that are new. There's so many like avenues that I could go. Where do you want me to pray? Or how do you want me to pray? And I have switched my workouts lately from doing a weighted workout to doing Pilates. And it's very different because weighted workouts work different muscles than Pilates workouts. And the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is that he's always with us. And so we can always have this presence of God. And so while I was working out, I really felt like the Holy Spirit just gave me a picture of like, hey, Megan, these marriage muscles, they're just muscles you haven't worked before. Like the same way that you're having a hard time switching like your workout programs because they're different muscles, like it's the same thing. So when you're going to pray for your marriage, pray that you would become familiar with those muscles, that you would be able to exercise the muscles that I have for you when it comes to a loving union and marriage. I've also gotten pictures before of no one specific, but maybe someone feeling like heavy and weighted down and burdened and almost drowning, and they just needed a breath of fresh air. And then someone came up to me and they're like, oh, this is my prayer card. It's exactly what you said. Here you go. Or maybe it's a picture of, for me, I've seen like a hedge of protection and been able to share that. And someone just felt like I needed to know that the Lord was my protector. But then I also want to encourage you, and we're almost there. Maybe you're an artist. I'm not. Some of my friends, when they don't know how to pray, but they want to pray in the Spirit, sometimes they start drawing. And right before their eyes, in communion with the Holy Spirit, something just develops and there's a picture. And the Lord is just showing what it means to be praying in the Spirit, what's on their heart, what's their desires, who's this picture for, and it just kind of comes out as they're communing with God. So I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if that's, if your picture is, if you're artsy, if maybe there's just certain words. I don't know. But I do know that the Lord loves each of us so much. And I know that he has something in store tonight where he wants to commune with us in a different way that may feel unfamiliar and may stretch us, but could be really beautiful. So that being said, if y'all would be willing to participate, maybe just find a space in the room and Michelle will play some music. And I'm going to set a timer for 5 minutes. And we're just going to see what the Holy Spirit does. And then I will stop us so y'all don't have to time anything. You can just relax. Okay, I'll kick it off just back to those prompts, by the way. So let's close our eyes. Get whatever feels comfortable. Holy Spirit, we just say you are invited here. We know that you are here, but we invite you into the deep areas of our heart that may be unseen. Show us how you want to stretch us and how we pray and commune with you. What do you have for me? Take a breath and get out of that space. Thanks for participating, guys. Yeah, I love the presence of the Holy Spirit. I even just kind of got a picture of like necklaces tangled. So I don't know if that relates to anyone, but maybe you just feel like life is kind of entangled right now. I think the Spirit and the Lord really wants to unravel some of those things for you. So would love to talk to you about that if that's you. But all that being said, I'm going to pray us out really quick, and then Crispy's going to come up here and kind of give some instructions for some next steps. Jesus, we just thank you so much that, and we thank you for this coming Sunday, for the fact that because you came, we get to pray in the Spirit, that we don't have to get dressed up and go into a temple and figure it all out and follow these rules. That you, Holy Spirit, live in us, and we get full access to the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Show us and expand what that looks like for us in our lives here in Parker, Colorado. We love you and we praise you. Amen.